You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn and Sean Quinn with you in the studio to look ahead to Friday's racing and some good action to look forward to on Friday as well. Doncaster, Huntingdon and Taunton over jumps, Lingfield and an evening meeting at Newcastle, as well as an evening meeting at Dundalk to look forward to on the flat. So very much something for everyone on Friday. Hello, Sean Quinn.
Hello, Alex Dunn.
You're chipper today, aren't you?
I'm not too bad, actually, yes.
Why are you so happy? What's going on?
I just think it's probably better to be this way than down in the dumps, Alex. Too many people in this world just down in the dumps, and there's no reason for it most of the time.
And you get to sit in the studio with me for the next 15 minutes.
And I've just been in a studio with Darren Owen and Tom Morley for the last 2 hours, so really, what's the not to be chipper about?
What a treat. You're also chipper because we were talking about the Cheltenham Festival.
Oh, yes.
You're trying to book accommodation.
Oh, no, what a nightmare. that's not making me chipper.
No, that is...
That's distressing.
I said, dear do.
Oh, man
alive. Good job we pay you well, isn't it?
Yeah, not even William Hill wages, though, will cover these costs by the looks of things.
We were talking about the festival because you're going for the duration, most likely.
Possibly.
Yes, or something like that. And I'm going on the Tuesday... And I just threw in a question. She said, "Oh, have you got any runners, Sean?" And you mentioned one.
Yeah, well, we've only got three jumpers, so one out of three isn't bad.
It's not bad at all.
But yeah, no. Project Blue Book is a horse who many listeners to the podcast will have seen win at Musselburgh last week. Absolutely dotted up in a competitive handicap hurdle, and he confirmed himself a juvenile who's definitely on the up. Mm. And he'll have options in both the Triumph Hurdle and the Fred Winter Hurdle now.
20-1 for the Fred Winter with us here at William Hill. Actually, not in the betting for the Triumph. Are you thinking more Fred Winter or more Triumph?
I'm not sure.
At this stage, we're not going to hold you to it.
Well, he's been reassessed earlier this week and he's now rated 141. A horse with that rating tends to end up in the Triumph Hurdle rather than the Fred Winter.
Okay.
And when we won the Triumph Hurdle with Countrywide Flame, he was 140 going into the race. So this fella's already a pound higher. Therefore, you'd imagine the Triumph Hurdle could be the preferred option.
Not even in the betting for it on our website. Get in touch with the traders, listeners, if you want to back it. Mm. Would you say it has a chance then? I mean... If we are looking, firstly at the Fred Winter, Cosmopolitan 16s with Landsman, Master Blue Eyes and Mega Fortune, and 20s the rest, it is ludicrously open. We can't preview the Fred Winter at this stage.
No, you can't, because it's all on handicap marks.
Absolutely. And there's a chance that Project Blue Book will end up there, but you're suggesting the Triumph is more likely. At the minute, Defi de Soy, the 5-1 favourite, 7s for Charlie Parks and Mary DeVee, Bapormann, Land of Hope of Glory at 10s, 14s for Mega Fortune, bigger price of the rest. Of course, these are all open to... horses going elsewhere, etc., etc. But if your fellow was to turn up here, don't get me wrong, there's some nice types in there, but there's not one standout, is there?
No, it's an open year. And, for example, I mean, Bapormann, Land of Hope and Glory are 10-1 shots. They're rated 137. Mm-hmm. So if the handicapper is right, at this stage of the season, they're £4 inferior to our horse. Cliffs of Dover is 140, so he's a pound inferior. Now, I'm not saying that's definitely the case, but that would give us strong reason to go down the Triumph route.
Maybe aim that way. Okay, then. So Project Blue Book, just one to look at maybe, listeners. And if you want to get in touch with the trading team, then do so. Just go on the William Hill website, contact us and get in touch, or alternatively tweet and you know, just if you fancy it. But we're not saying it's quite hard to have a banker at the Cheltenham Festival, isn't it, that isn't trained by Willie Mullins.
True.
Let alone for you to ready one yourself.
But I think punters like backing horses at bigger prices they? That, certainly anti-post betting, that's the joy of it. I don't want to go back a 2-1 shot 8 to 10 weeks before a race and tie my money up.
Yeah.
You want to be backing a juicy 20-25 to 1 shot, don't you, Alex?
And hopefully it will be available at that price. Fingers crossed. If they're putting it shorter, then maybe we have a word with them.
Yeah, I see he's around that price with rivals, so I wouldn't be surprised if he were in around that.
Well, that's fair enough then, Sean. But stay here with us at William Hill.
Do.
Well done.
Just ask the trading team.
Well,
they'll give you a price. You ask them, they'll deliver.
As for Friday's racing, precautionary inspections at both Doncaster and Huntingdon. We're going to look at one race at Doncaster, two at Huntingdon, and we're also going to look at one at Newcastle because we know that'll definitely be on. They are precautionary inspections, but it was ruddy cold this morning, Sean.
It was. It has been all week. Mm. But hopefully we'll pass the inspections. We have today, Thursday. Warwick was touch and go, but they got by. And you'd be hopeful that Doncaster and Huntingdon will follow suit, certainly if it doesn't get any colder.
Okay. Also action, as I said, at Taunton, Lingfield and Dundalk to look forward to on Friday. You'll hear it all on William Hill's Racing Radio with Darren Owen and Kevin O'Malley and Tom Morley. Again,
the boys are back in town.
They are indeed.
Quite literally.
You have been replaced by Kevin O'Malley for tomorrow's show, I'm afraid.
But his Irish lilt preferable on a Friday to mine.
Just a little bit. Right, we'll start by looking at Doncaster. And the first race is the 155 that we're going to look at. 3 miles the trip for this staying handicap chase. Godsmy Judge is in there. I believe Godsmy Judge I've just seen run at Warwick.
If he hasn't just run, he's due to run.
Yeah.
In fact, yeah, we've just seen him run. I'd say it's doubtful he'll run again.
But the rest of them look like they should be taking part.
True.
And there are, it's quite a difficult race. We'll start with the youngest runner in the race, which is Behind the Wire.
Mm-hmm.
A six-year-old in this, and there's some grand old types in this race, but Behind the Wire hadn't shown a great deal until winning quite nicely and in the style of one that is certainly going the right way at Taunton last time out.
Exactly. He won a novice's handicap chase off a mark of 112. The handicapper has raised him to 117, but that mark might prove to be beyond him. He's only had a couple of starts in chases. His first one was a complete write-off, Alex. He was sent off at 11-2 at Uttoxeter, but he only beat a couple of rivals home, was beaten 36 lengths. Clearly there wasn't anything wrong with him after that, though, because it was only 24 days before Tom George returned him to the track, and he put in a much better effort at Taunton on better ground.
Similar break here as well.
Similar break, and he'll meet with similar conditions at Doncaster. The ground will be riding quite nicely. It'll certainly be good ground for these jumpers. So conditions will be perfect, you'd imagine, for Behind the Wire. And taking on some quite exposed horses, he's definitely the one they've got to aim at.
Okay. What about main dangers then, or a selection if you're not going to go with Behind the Wire?
Well, Fort Worth ran a good race here at Doncaster last time out. That came 7 weeks ago. He's a horse who seems to go quite well fresh as well, so I think that the little break that he's had is a positive. I presume he's had that little break because he's a horse who needs decent ground, and in December and early January we've had quite a lot of soft ground, Alex, so connections have waited for a bit of better ground. He's only an eight-year-old. Fort Worth isn't thoroughly exposed. He's shaped as if he's got wins in him off this mark of 122 as well, so I would imagine he'll be the biggest danger to Behind the Wire.
But the George horse gets the nod?
Just.
Okay. Behind the Wire, the selection for Sean then, in the Doncaster 155. To Huntingdon we go then. And we're going to look at the 230, a grade two mare's hurdle. A real treat for a Friday at Huntingdon. Just the six runners in this over 3 miles and one furlong. But there's some really nice types in here. Willie Mullins sends one over. You've got Paul Nicholls and Nicky Henderson represented as well. And barring Lady of Longstone, who does look up against it on official ratings, it's pretty hard to rule any of these out.
It is. This is a cracking race to have on the card. And it's to be hoped that the meeting's on for this race alone, Alex. I think Kotkakova is the most interesting contender in the race because she's a mare that we know very little about. She's only had one run whilst in the care of Nicky Henderson. That came at Leopardstown over Christmas. She finished fifth in a race won by Vroom Vroom Mag. That contained the likes of Clondor Warrior. Shane's Hill came to grief at the last in that race. But it was really strong form, is what I'm trying to say. We saw Shane Till win a little earlier on today.
Shane Till, Pondo Warrior, and Snow Falcon were second, third, and fell in that race.
And they were first, second, and third today in the Galmoy hurdle today at Gowran, even. Kotka Kovert is a mare who I think is held in the highest regard by Nicky Henderson. He wouldn't have sent her to Leopardstown for his first start, for her first start for him, if she wasn't a mare that he had very high hopes for. And she's in far calmer waters here, and I think she's the one the rest of them have to beat.
Whiteout is she's only six. Seems like she's been around for ages and ages, but she just keeps running well. Well, when she's pitched into the top company, she's found out.
Yeah, although
but this isn't top company.
But she's a Grade One winner last year as a novice.
Yeah,
and she beat Limini in that Grade One, so she's a mighty good mare in her own right on her day. Her profile is quite inconsistent. That's one thing you could hold against Whiteout. But arguably, she comes in here into this race in very good form. She had Kotka Kovert a couple of lengths behind her in that race at Leopardstown. She finished fourth behind Vroom Vroom Mag over Christmas. As we touched on there, she did beat Limini in novice company at Punchestown on good ground. So if the ground stays good to soft, if it doesn't soften any further, I think conditions should be absolutely perfect for Whiteout. And she's a worthy rival to Kotka Kovert.
Lifeboat Mona won a listed bumper here at Huntingdon.
Yep.
Then went not off the boil, but just ran okay for a couple of runs. Mm. Then back to form, then pulled up at Taunton. But if you ignore that Taunton run, of the last four races that she's finished, she's won all four.
She has. She's a mare who I think has been really well placed by Paul Nicholls, it has to be said. She won a Sandown listed hurdle at Sandown.
No.
never. 3 weeks ago. She won by three lengths from Midnight Jazz, showing a really gutsy attitude. That race isn't always the strongest of races, so I think it was a really good bit of placing, as I say, to get a listed win to her name over obstacles. We'd won that race a couple of years ago before with Aurora Destruval, so I know it's not always the strongest race in terms of the depth to it. This is a far deeper race, and that whilst they're pitching her in at the right time, she's coming into it in excellent nick. I think she's going to need to take her form to another level, Alex.
Okay. What's the selection?
Kotka Kovert, I think, will be better for her first run for the stable. The connections will know more about her, and I'd expect her to improve on her Leopardstown showing.
Okay, the Henderson charge gets the vote in the 2:30. We'll talk about the 3 o'clock at Huntingdon now, a Potemps Network Series qualifier handicap hurdle over 3 miles and 1 furlong. 13 runners set to go to post for this one. As ever with these kind of races, very, very open indeed. One that I want to mention, and you may not be considering it from a form point of view.
Right.
But I remember going to Huntingdon with Stephen Powell, who, as we know, is the racecourse announcer there, also works on William Hill Radio. And I watched Volney de Ty win at Huntingdon.
Mm-hmm.
A hurdle went going off 13-8. This is back in November 2014. Was so impressive that day.
When you had black in your hair?
No.
Not even then?
No, we're not talking 2007.
Right, okay.
I've got greyer since then, but no, even then, right. there were signs. But was just so impressive on that occasion. And then after that, has been really highly tried in some top quality races, including over the festive period, tried over fences, back over hurdles. If getting it all together, I love this horse. I'd love to see it bounce back to form. That said, it is quite hard to see that happening on this occasion.
It is, and he's been set a tough ask having to concede weight to the rest of the field here. Mm. He's still very highly rated, as you say, Alex. He's got a rating 150. Clearly, connections are eyeing a crack at the Potemps with him, which is why they're running him in a qualifier. But I just wonder whether he'll be up to conceding the weight to some horses that are in form coming into this.
Yeah, the likes of What a Night, What's His Name, El Terremoto as well, all come here off the back of good runs, and Call to Order down at the bottom for John Joe O'Neill and Aidan Coleman, who was a winner last time out. There's plenty to like about a lot of these.
There are a number of improving types in the race, as you say, Alex. El Terremoto is a horse of Nigel Swisson Davis, who I think definitely has more to offer. He won a Class 2 handicap at Haydock two starts back, and then he ran a really good race behind Klein at Haydock over the Christmas period. Klein ran a cracker in the Champion Hurdle trial at Haydock last week, so the form looks pretty strong, and he's he's interesting stepping up to this this trip of 3 miles and a furlong, El Terremoto, having done much of his racing over shorter. If he stays this trip, he's a big, big player. If he improves the trip, then he'll take a lot of beating. You mentioned what's his name. He was second in a novice's chase last time out at Aintree behind Arpège de Laine. He's a horse who's not had a lot of racing for a seven-year-old. It's interesting that connections have come back over hurdles with him. He might be open to a little bit more progress.
Interesting as well. Harry Fry has two runners in this, and they're next to each other in the handicap. Mm. They've got similar profiles in terms of they've both had a little bit of time off the track coming back, but both were in fantastic heart prior to that. I think he quite fancies this race.
Both have run in chases latterly as well and revert back to hurdles. You could argue that Watanite might be the more strongly fancied of the two because Noel Feely takes the ride. He tends to be the number one rider for the stable. This horse was in excellent form last time out at Hereford in October, as you say, winning a chase emphatically at odds of 1-5, as you'd expect him to. It'll be interesting to see how he shapes in a handicap hurdle. His last start in a handicap hurdle was in May of last year at Haydock. He was a winner off 1-3-8. This mark of 1-4-4 could prove workable. He had some decent form last year as a novice, finishing fourth behind Mr. Miyagi in a good event at Cheltenham at their April meeting. He'd probably get the vote for me here, Watanite.
Okay, Watanite then gets the nod for Sean in Huntingdon's 3 o'clock. Fingers crossed that Huntingdon and Doncaster are on. And don't forget, on Friday at William Hill, High Five is available on all qualifying National Hunt races. So as long as there's six runners or more, I know that the 2:30 at Huntingdon, currently there are six runners. Let's hope there's no absentees in that one. But provided that all stay in, we'll qualify for High Five. That is, if your horse is beaten, if your horse wins by five or more lengths, you get a 25% bonus on your bet. And if it's second and beaten by five or more lengths, you get your money back as a free bet, up to £25. Available on all National Hunt races tomorrow at William Hill. Final race we're going to focus on is on the all-weather. It's on the evening, actually. Newcastle 6:45. Eight runners going to post for this 5-furlong handicap. Tricky one, but at least we've got the eight runners. You probably have to go each way with this.
Yeah, and I'm going to go with a horse in Foxy Forever who's shown good form at the track of late. He was third here 6 days ago behind Poppy in the Wind. He was second in a decent race behind Outrage 3 starts back. He's a horse who's not badly treated on some old form. He won the Rockingham Handicap up the Curragh a couple of years ago off a mark of 89, so £9 higher than what he is currently rated, Alex. He's drawn in stall 6 of 8. I'd rather be drawn a little higher than over the far side. Those low draws on the straight track just seem to be hard to win from. And he should be very competitive in this race. But as you say, you've got the likes of Apravado, who when last seen in September of last year was a winner here at Newcastle. Rich Again won here just over a fortnight ago, showing a good attitude under Joe Fanning. One Boy has a layoff to overcome for Paul Midgley, but he was an improving five-year-old when last seen. He was in winning form at Navan under Irish champion jockey Pat Smullen. Fred Rieker finished in front of Foxy Forever last week at Newcastle, so connections of Frederica will be hopeful that she can confirm the placings. But I'm just going to side with Michael Wiggum's charge.
Okay, and key that the Wiggum runner is often well backed if a big run is expected. So
key that the blinkers are back on. He hasn't been wearing them of late.
I was going to say, blinkered for the first time when you mentioned the Rockingham Handicap, he won at the Curragh. Blinkered first time on that occasion, yeah. And then has obviously been pitched in some very good races and was rated in the 100s briefly and the high 90s. Then blinkers have been off of late for the last four runs, reapplied here if they sharpen him up. Foxy Forever, and as well, if the money is down, could be one to seriously consider in that Newcastle 6:45. Great stuff, Sean. Thank you very much for joining me. I'll catch up with you soon. Enjoy all of Friday's racing. And have you got any runners coming up this weekend?
A couple at Newcastle tomorrow night. A horse in a maiden first time. I'd hope he'd shape up well. And a horse in a handicap who should run okay.
Okay. Thank you, Sean.
Thank you, Alex.
And if you're having a bet, listeners, over the weekend or on Friday, then very best of luck. We'll be back soon on the William Hill Racing Podcast.
High Five is live at William Hill now. If your selection wins a high five race by five or more lengths, you'll get a 25% bonus on your winnings. And if you back the runner-up and it's beaten five or more lengths, you'll get your money back as a free bet. The offer applies to races with six or more runners at all National Hunt meetings on a Friday and Saturday. All National Hunt races shown live on terrestrial TV and selected meetings during the rest of the week. High Five from William Hill. Terms and conditions apply. Visit williamhill.com or the William Hill app for more details.